Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Revelation, the Strange Book. And today's message is based on Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So let us open with prayer. God of majesty and light, you hold the whole world in your hand. So we give you our great praise that in Jesus Christ all people may see your glory. We thank you for revealing Jesus to be your Son and for claiming our lives in baptism to be his glad disciples. By your Spirit, may peace descend upon us that we may follow him with grateful hearts. Take us and all we have to be useful in your service, God of all nations. In the gracious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, and we will read the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent it and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So this is our first Sunday here in this brand new year of 2023, but I have heard over the past few weeks some excitement about this year being better than the last one. I read an article as I was preparing this week's message from my friend Dr. Paul Elliott titled, How shall we face another year of calamity? I felt his advice was very good and wish to share just a portion with you today. I call your attention to the Holy Spirit's words through the Apostle Paul in the third chapter of Colossians. If more literally, since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now the Christian should, as in all things, look to God for solutions instead of looking to and being immersed in the world. Satan is the ruler of the world. We must accept this. But God rules over this and in all things. So do we turn to Satan for our solutions? Or do we turn to the minions of Satan? Or do we follow the holy word of God and find God's intention for us in the world and in our lives? So today is also Baptism of the Lord Sunday, when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Not because Jesus needed to be baptized, but because he did it willingly for us, that we might know how to live in faith. We must all submit to God's will in our lives in all things. Christ's example in this one thing is also an example for us in all things, and more of this later. Now, with the world being in the mess it is in, we have been looking to the Old Testament prophecies of what is to come and of the last days. The end times have always been a part of God's plan for humanity and naturally occupies our minds, sometimes just a little too much. I promised that we would next go to the book of Revelation, and today we start this exposure to what William Barclay calls the strange book. We will not go chapter and verse in this series, for that would take an entirely long time, and we would take our focus off the life of Christ just a little too much. But there is something about this book that we need to explore in faith under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I will cover the broad concepts of this book and not try to get bogged down with massive details and repetitive symbolism. I do advise your reading ahead, and please send me questions that I may be able to cover in the message or cover separately. Revelation is unique in the New Testament. There is no other book like it. The period between the Old and the New Testaments had a lot of this type of writing, both in Jewish and Greek cultures. Martin Luther despised this book and refused to include it in his German New Testament. He did include it in an appendix. He disliked the threats and promises that were in it, and not being gracious enough, especially since it is so difficult to understand. So Revelation is apocalyptic writing. This word comes from the Greek apocalypse, which means laying bare, making naked. B, a disclosure of truth, instruction concerning things before unknown. And C, used of events by which things or states or persons hereto withdrawn from view are made visible to all. In English, it simply means to reveal something not before known or understood. As used in Scripture, it is a type of biblical literature that emphasizes the lifting of the veil between heaven and earth and the revelation of God and His plan for the world. Apocalyptic writings are marked by distinctive literary features, particularly predictions of future events and accounts of visionary experiences or journeys to heaven, often involving vivid symbolism. Later apocalypses often build upon and elaborate the symbolism employed by earlier ones. And this is particularly true in the case of the book of Revelation, in which not only are earlier apocalypses, but the whole of Old Testament is plundered for ideas and symbols. Readers need to be alert to discern from allusions. There were several revelations in Scripture you can look up. The Old Testament has Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Ezra, Haggai, Daniel, Hosea, and even parts of the Psalms. In the New Testament, besides Revelation, we have Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and portions of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Jude contains some apocalyptic revelations. The foundation for this style of writing derives from a lost sense of hope and a desire for a better future, things that we have today as well. In the periods of time where Scripture takes this way, is always a time when people need encouragement and restoration of the holy hope of God. Revelation is not to be feared, but to strive for its fulfillment in your obedience to God's Word. So who wrote this strange book has been a topic of contention for over 2,000 years. We are told it was John, but which John? The two frontrunners are John the Apostle and another John simply referred to as John the Elder. Actually, John the Elder can only be another way of referring to John the Apostle, who led many churches in Asia Minor as an elder. I tend to lean toward this combined John, who was the apostle, one of the sons of thunder, who rested his head upon Jesus at the Last Supper, and who was known to be quite the evangelist and leader of the early church. But let's now look at what our opening verses of the book has to tell us. It starts, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John." First, the proper title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation that we find in this book came from Jesus Christ. And no matter who put pen to paper, it clearly tells us this is Christ. Throughout this book, we will have references to Jesus speaking or an angel. In part, Jesus takes a lead, and in other places, he uses an angel as a messenger. Do not overemphasize the angel, for it is clearly the messenger and not the originator of the message. Many will place too much importance on the role of the angel, but the angel is only doing as commanded by God and Jesus. So when will these things take place? And Jesus tells us, shortly. But it has been over 2,000 years, so what does he mean? For the first coming of Jesus, look to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5, we find a tremendous statement. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Now, from an article by Dr. Paul Elliott, so what is the essence of the phrase, "when the fullness of time was come"? We can accurately say it means at a strategic moment, or at the decisive moment. And that is when God sent forth his Son, not a moment sooner nor a moment later in all of time. The first coming of Christ was the culmination of a vast, unimaginably complex divine plan. But what about the future? What about Christ's second coming as foretold in Revelation? Today we are seeing a renewed epidemic of end-time speculations. Some of us have lived long enough to remember what went on in evangelical circles in the 70s and the 80s. Books and movies like the late Great Planet Earth and later on the Left Behind series gripped the attention of many people. Many date setters appeared on the scene in those days and since then. Radio and television preachers would say, "I know the Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour, but friends, here's the inside scoop. I have it all figured out. I have connected the dots in prophecy. I have done the mathematical computation." We can know the answer to the question, when will be the fullness of time at Christ's second coming? By superimposing today's news headlines on Scripture. But as the trend of the headlines changed, their speculations changed as well. But Scripture also makes clear to us that the time and circumstances of Christ's second coming will take the world, including believers, by surprise. Scripture says that he will come suddenly and unexpectedly as a thief in the night from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Peter, or at an hour you do not expect from Matthew 24. In the meantime, the news headlines will tell us each day of the rise and fall of nations and the alliances of nations and of God's raising up one ruler and putting down another. False religion will seem to gain the upper hand. Wars will be fought. Men will continue their futile efforts to bring lasting peace and order to this sin-cursed earth. But God does not tell us to look to the news headline. He tells us to compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible is our sole authority. Timing is everything with God. Judgment and hell are coming for the lost. Grace and an everlasting kingdom are coming for the redeemed. Again, so when is shortly? You cannot depend on an ancient Mayan stone calendar or the ecstatic visions of an unbeliever, the prophecies of many who really are only looking to gain from what they say. We must trust God that he has all under control. So why should we read this book? Well, first, we might not be able to understand everything in Revelation, but we can understand its central message. If our goal in studying Revelation is to nail down what image portrays, and what every symbol stands for, what every detail means, we're likely going to be frustrated. Our goal instead should be to listen for and take to heart what is really clear. We're living in such a divided time. We all have our opinions as well as opinions about those whose opinions are worth considering. And that is certainly the case regarding the book of Revelation. Some of us may be more comfortable focusing on interpretive issues or nailing down the details than opening up our lives to self-examination that this book demands of us. You and I can understand the central message of the book, the more whether or not we're willing to embrace and live in light of it. Next, we need to see this world and our lives in this world through the perspective of heaven. We sometimes foolishly assume we have all the data we need to evaluate what is happening in our world, but we don't. Our perspectives are limited by our humanity and our earthly vantage point. In the book of Revelation, we find that its curtain was pulled back for John so that he could see beyond the time and space of this earthly life into the heart of ultimate reality. He was enabled to see what is happening in this world, not from the perspective of this earth, but from the perspective of heaven. As we take in what he saw, we find that we are better able to see the true nature of things. Rather than view this world's offerings as attractive from heaven's perspective, we can see how ugly and unsatisfying they really are. Rather than seeing the persecution of a faithful believer as a tragic defeat, we're able to see it as a glorious victory. We want the blessings that is promised to those who hear and keep this book. Many of us have a rather lightweight perception of what it means to be blessed. Revelation is going to correct some of our assumptions about what the blessed life looks like for ordinary believers like you and me. And since the blessing promised in Revelation is reserved for those who hear and keep what is written in this book, we're going to be challenged to think through what it will mean and require of us to hear and keep it. Revelation is meat to the bones of our understanding of what the blessed life really is. And four, we need to live out the story Revelation tells. Every one of us lives out the story that we believe is true. Some of us live out the story called the American Dream. Some of us live out a story that must end with happily ever after. Some of us have come to think that we can craft our own life story toward the end that most appeals to us. There's a story that you and I should be living out of, a story that should shape how we live today and every day to come. According to Jesus, the kingdom of God is the story, and the book of Revelation helps us to see where that story is headed so that we can live out of it in joyful anticipation. This book is not a guide to foretelling the intention of God, but is rather a means that we may prepare ourselves to find our personal fulfillment in God's plan for us. It is rather when that time does arrive, are you ready? And what is John's part in this? And from this first verse, we are clearly told, his servant John. John is to act as Christ's servant. John did not imagine this book or even contribute to it other than to be the scribe of the Holy Spirit and record for our benefit. Much of what I have read focuses on John's experience, what John may have believed, but that doesn't matter. For John records what he is told. An old platitude of many famous people, the best reserved for those greatest honor was in the fact that they were servants of God. In verse 2, why was John chosen to write these things? And it says, he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. John had been faithful to Christ in how he had lived. John was in prison at the time of this writing on the Isle of Patmos, a penal colony from where there was no escape. John had spoken boldly, did not hide when times were tough, had remained a spokesman of Jesus even when others faltered. John had seen what others could only imagine, and John faithfully taught the gospel. This opening paragraph closes with a threefold blessing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written on it, for the time is near. Where else have we heard of the coming blessings for those who believe? In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes, and now we close the final book with more promises of blessings. The word used here as blessing can also be translated as happy. We will be truly happy if we adhere to these words in our lives. The first is blessed is the reader of these words. To know what God intends, we must read and study His word. You will not benefit yourself if you avoid this book because of its difficulties and fear the wrath to come. For this is spoken by God Himself, and these words are and must be read. We must read to others that they will have a chance of salvation. The next blessing is the one who hears the words. Now, not all have the ability to read or have a copy of this book or even able to read. So for those others must read to and for them that they may receive this blessing. Never think of reading the Word of God as a task or a duty to be formed, or fear reading to others who may never have a chance to hear these marvelous words. For one to hear, another must read. The third blessing is to keep these words. And what does it mean to keep a word? Think of a valuable article you possess. It may be a piece of jewelry, a fancy car, or something other that you place great value on. You will do all you can to keep that item safe. The very same is the very Word of God, and specifically the words of this book. Barclay states in his commentary, to hear God's Word is a privilege, but to obey is a duty. You cannot be a Christian if you simply hear the words. Even say to them, but you must keep them as an integral part of your life. Now, there are a total of seven blessings recorded in this difficult book. First, it is not all doom and gloom, but a guide to discover all of God's blessings for humanity. To discover these blessings requires you to do some work. Next, we will have the reoccurring number 7 that is found throughout this book. The people of John's time placed a great deal of interest in numerology, or the study of numbers, and what they mean. In this book, 7 refers to being complete. So as we go through this study, we will discover all, the complete list of blessings that God intends for His creation, those who believe and live as if they believe. So why was this book written to be so difficult to understand? Many have said it was written that the Romans could not figure it out and strike against the Christian. And that's a maybe. But why is it so still hard to understand today? In the power of the Holy Spirit, John receives great visions as well as crucial messages that the church then and the church now need to hear. In the spiritual realm, Revelation depicts a divine struggle against Satan and his demons. Yet this battle against the deceiver of the world and the accuser of our brethren has already been won by the blood of the Lamb. All that remains is for Satan and his followers to be sentenced to their just eternal punishment by our Lord, for their doom is sure. Now, on this celebration of the baptism of Christ, where he substituted, or where he submitted, to some simple act, he was already above and was totally unnecessary for him. And may we, through the memories of our baptism and the baptisms we have witnessed, know that we have committed our lives to Jesus and that he was willing to do all that we may live. So what are we to do with Revelation, the strange book? We are to read it, find not the timing of God's plan, for only he will ever know that, but for us to receive instruction and reassurance that God is in control and how we must live, that we may receive the just reward of the faithful in Christ. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. May God the Father, who sent his Son upon his, blessed you with the presence of his Spirit. Jesus, who received the Spirit and manifested the Father, abide in you and make you a manifestation of his life. And may the God of the Spirit, who came upon Christ in the fullness of power, empower you to live a life of faith. May the Spirit give you courage and strength to turn away from sin, to obey God's will, and to proclaim the coming reign of God. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, same hungering and thirst. of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old story of Jesus and His love.